Well, good morning. I'm glad you're here. And these last few weeks have been a blessing to me. It's good to see you guys, and it's just a blessing. So thank you. Thank you for inviting me. Do you know the life of Mark? Know him as a disciple, right? Mark was a writer. That was his profession. It's said that he may have helped Peter and others that couldn't write as well, and he helped with the scripture. He's known in church history for having the first church in Africa, and his home base was Alexandria, like in Egypt. After he had returned from Africa, he had spent quite a few years back in his home area. He was martyred. He was dragged through his city, a rope around his neck, and ridden through the cities until he died. He was at 56 years old, is what they think. It's interesting sometimes if you study the disciples' lives, it wasn't an easy life. It wasn't when they were with Jesus, and it wasn't after. But they stayed true to the Word of God. And so it's an encouragement that our lives haven't got that bad. But you may go through struggles. Doesn't say it'll be easy. If you look in, you have your bulletin, and you need to kind of keep it for a little bit, highlight a part of it. Highlight the part where it says there's going to be some found, where it mentions there'll be those that are some have everlasting life. Let's see here. Everyone whose name is found written in a book, okay, will be delivered. I like that. And then there's others where it says they're going to have shame and everlasting contempt. Now, who gets to choose that? Some blame God and say God. But no, it's you. You get to choose which one you want to be. You can be in the book of life, and how do we make sure that we're in the book of life? We trust in the work of the cross, that we knowing ourselves as sinners, he died for our sin, he paid the price, and we've been learning all the way through as we've been talking, even through the Gospel of John, that if you believe in him, you have what? Everlasting life. We celebrated a life, 92 years old, of a church member, but he's not done. We said he's welcomed in the hands and arms of Jesus. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. You continue on, but you choose which everlasting state you would want to be in. You want to be with him and discover more and more about him, or do you want to be in shame and everlasting contempt? You get to choose. God has allowed you to make those decisions. Now, there's a time coming where Jesus is coming again. You hear that song? Coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, but surely soon. Coming again. He's coming again. Do you believe that? He said he's coming again. The disciples believed that in their lifetime, Jesus was coming again. And it's interesting, they get caught away right in the beginning of Mark in this first part with the magnitude of the temple and the buildings, the architecture, and it was stunning. Herod took 46 years to make this temple. 46 years. You ever have a house built? And we get upset when it took, 6 months or something like that. They slowed down or take maybe a year. 46 years. It was limestone and stone from the desert sea. And then it was laced with gold. Herod wanted everybody to see it. So anybody from any other kingdom, when the sun hit that building and hit that gold, it would shine. And even at night, you could still see the temple. And inside, not very many people out inside, were they? But inside, with a tile, was if you make, and you can do it on your paper, make a big square, and then you make another square, but put it on an angle so the sides are like triangles, but it's a square. You make five of those in one tile. And so that textile was all different kinds of textile and also different colors. So it would be just ornate. It's just gorgeous. And they're just at awe. The disciples are, we're in this area where the temple was. Now, it's funny that they're talking about the architecture, how great things were, because it wasn't long ago Jesus was just there at the temple and threw out the money changers. Because instead of being a house of worship, it was a central point for everybody to be drawn to come and trade as merchants and the money changers. And the money changers made their money by also changing your money and you're not getting really its value. And that's not what the house of worship is supposed to be, right? We know that. And so Jesus took care of it. But yet the disciples go back in that mode. It's kind of like we get a message maybe, or in a church, and we're fired up to go ahead and go through the week and do something for God, and then all of a sudden the world seems to capture in, and we forgot what we were really motivated to do or promised to do, and we're just like, oh, wow, isn't this great in the world? And that's where the disciples, I think, got caught off. And then they're surprised that they're told by Jesus that, guess what? This glorious temple you see is coming down. And not one stone is going to be left. Now that happened in 70 AD. Rome destroyed it. Everything was leveled. Just as who? Jesus said. The only thing that remained around the temple was part of the western wall outside of the temple. And you know what that is today? That's the Wailing Wall. So Jesus was right. So he tells them, things are going to be a little different. Some things are going to happen. Why does he start to tell us these things? He says it's kind of like birth pangs. Any lady here have a baby? Yeah? Some of you? You don't want to admit it? Sometimes, parents are proud of their kids. They say you'll never know the pain anymore. I don't know if that's true. But you remember the process, right? Being uncomfortable. So there's a process we're going to go through as believers. First, you're going to be uncomfortable. Now, maybe you're not there yet, but as you live and you go through this world, there are going to be things happen in this world. They're going to be uncomfortable. And then what's going to happen is you're going to have these little pains come along. You ever have those little pains? You remember those? Little pains. Sometimes, you have a little movement, things are happening. And then you get more pains. And it doesn't go away, does it? All of a sudden, I can remember when ours were born. All of a sudden, if you didn't have certain medications at that time when I was married, my wife, she knew all the drugs in the book. She could tell the doctor, I want this drug. To try to mask the pain. And in society, in the world, we try to mask the pain sometimes. Why is it that things are happening today and sometimes it seems that they're getting worse? And Jesus was telling his disciples, it's going to be that way. It's the signs that I am going to come back. And now we wonder, how do we see it? He said, we're going to see it some ways. He said in verse 7 and 8, he said, we're going to see some issues come up. We're going to see, first of all, he says, take heed that no one deceive you. In other words, there's going to be people come on the earth, be born, and then they're going to claim to be the Messiah. That sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But you know what? It's been happening all the way through history. Different people popping up saying that they were the Messiah. One I found was as early as 135 AD. Somebody came along and seen. Maybe you know some of these. 1978, we had Mr. Jim Jones. Remember? And the sad thing is, when these groups developed, people followed them. Some were in fundamental Bible-believing churches. They went and followed these people. And that's why Jesus is saying in the Scripture, you need to know your Scripture. You need to test things. You need to test the Spirit. You need to know these things and be aware. Don't be deceived. Many lost their lives through Mr. Jim Jones. In 2018, there was Mishu Masani, Japan activist, and he said he was the Messiah. 2009, there was another Japanese person that made happy science, said he was the Messiah. 1993, how many remember David Koresh? Young man claimed he was the Messiah. A lot of family members lost their loved ones because they went to follow David Koresh, the Branch Davidians. Today, there are 7 people known throughout the world that are claiming themselves as the Messiah, leading people astray. It's happening. The birth pangs are going. As we share these, the things that you need to remember is, where do you want to be? Do you know who you are in Christ? Are you solid? Are you on that solid ground? Are you on sinking sand? And are you looking for folly and then looking for a demise? The next thing he said, you know, there are going to be wars. There are going to be rumors of wars. You know, we are so blessed in the United States that we're kind of also at the same time poorly visioned. We are got blinders on and we don't really see all the things that are going on in the world as a whole. I'm going to share with you that I didn't know all these wars are going on right now. It started in 2003, the war in the Sudan, in Darfur. In 2004, there was a war in northwest Pakistan. In 2004, it started in Kurdish. In 2004, there's a war at the Nigeria Delta in Nigeria. In 2004, it started, there's a war in Kivu in the Congo. In 2005, there's a war in Paraguay. In 2006, it still goes on, a war in Hamas. In 2006, it started, we had the Mexican drug war. 2007, we have the Operation Enduring Freedom. Still going on. 2009, Sudan's tribes. And there's still, that's not all of them, there's still more. And there will continue to be rumors and more wars. It's not going away. So what he told his disciples is true. The next thing he told him, he said, you know, we're going to have some ethnic problems. When it says nation will rise up against nation, it means ethnic group will rise up against ethnic group. When we had 9/11 occur, something happened in my lifetime that I have not seen. Coming to America, I didn't know about a lot of issues in regards to ethnic groups, and then when I was in America, it didn't take long. But in 2000, I think, what was it, 11 or winter, one, when 9/11 occurred, we changed as a nation. It became, you're an American, I'm an American. You're American, I'm American. We love America. We're Americans. And not long ago, less than maybe 5 years ago, we see ethnic issues again. We won't go into those because a lot of them became political issues. And so we won't go. You know what they are. The next thing he mentioned, he said there will be earthquakes. There's an estimated 55 earthquakes a day. 55 a day. 20,000 across the world. The frequency of the magnitude of those that are 8.0 and higher are increasing. 16 major earthquakes worldwide a year. In the last 30 days, 8 earthquakes have been 6.0 or higher. In looking at a decade, a 10-year span, earthquakes have tripled. It's getting closer. Getting closer. He said famines. Famines would be out there. And we kind of look at, we're doing okay, except now we'll supply on some things, like our turkey for Thanksgiving we worry about or whatever, you know, may not come off the truck or whatever, so we worry about those. I got employees, you know, they're supposed to be getting a turkey from the truck or whatever, and they're, ooh, when a turkey coming? And then we hear, ooh, you know, if you didn't order soon enough, you might not get a turkey. And maybe you were hungry, you know, you missed a meal and you're a little hungry. That's not what we're talking about. World Food Program for June of 2021 says there's 41 million people on the brink of famine. The church every year did a thing with rice and stuff like that. You doing that again this year, or because of COVID you couldn't do it? Okay. We're feeding hungry people. 43 countries are dealing with issues of famine. Go to the United States, and if this will hit your heart, there are 13 million children in the United States that are hungry. In the United States. That means 1 in 6 children is hungry. It's getting closer. It's getting closer. It mentions troubles. Now, I don't have to go into a lot of detail on COVID-19, do I? Did COVID-19 bring some troubles? It just didn't happen in the United States. It's all over the world. And now we see in the news, as we get ready for some to travel for holidays, we see that overseas, some places are now experiencing a different rise in COVID cases. We also see that in some of our states in the United States, there's a rise in COVID. We thought we had COVID kind of canceled out, and then this weird strain of Delta came along, and everybody was getting sick, and then it didn't matter if you're vaccinated or not vaccinated, boost or not boost, because even if you were, you could still end up with COVID troubles. And that has caused a lot of heartache. I mean, in the industry of healthcare, people would be sick, dying and couldn't see their loved ones to say goodbye, to hold a hand, to be there, because they had to be isolated. People couldn't visit others that were in senior housing. They'd have to go to the window or look out from a balcony to see their loved ones. That physical touch wasn't available. Verse 9 tells us exactly what we need to do as we walk out those doors. Verse 9 told those disciples, and we tell you today, you must be on your guard. What is it that will weaken your faith? What is it will stray you away from the church or from God? What is it that will take your quality time to spend in abiding with Jesus? What will it take to take that away? There's a lot of things happening out there. And the pains are getting longer and stronger. If I was to tell you that Jesus was coming to your house to take us all away, he's coming today, and he's coming at 5 o'clock, some of you might run out real quick to get your house in order, right? He says nobody knows when. And told his disciples that. And he said, I don't even know. He said, my Father is the only one that knows. What's this message for? It's to put us on guard. It's to make sure you know where you stand. And the third thing is, don't be discouraged that these things are happening. It was predicted in the time of Jesus with his disciples that these things must take place, will take place, to let you know he's coming again.